everybody. Welcome to another great edition, a short edition of Talking Ticks. I'm Scott Girard. Joining me, as always, Tommy Johnson and Daniel Zollinger. Got the College World Series to go over with you. And if you haven't been paying attention, LSU is now in the finals, going to take on Coastal Carolina starting this Saturday. Best two out of three. We're going to have that. And, of course, the last two games against UCLA and Arkansas. A great one, one for the ages. So, yeah, just added to the list, basically. I think that's what I said to you guys earlier, man. Just another great game in the lore of LSU Tiger baseball. Happy to go over that with you folks. But before we do, just want to check in with you guys. Hopefully everything's still going well for you. I mean, it's a midweek, right? That's how the college baseball World Series goes. It's a work week for most of us, unless you're, you know, taking time off to go to Omaha, which we should probably really consider, considering how LSU is good at this. But yeah, I don't know. Hopefully you guys are finding time to watch all this and enjoy it. But how are you doing otherwise?
Good to be with you, man. Exciting to be celebrating a berth in the national championship, which I don't think, I think, you know, if you look back at our podcast, we talked about this team had a chance to be real special. This team had a chance to do something to really make a run. But I would not say that this is a stacked team in the same way that maybe that 2023 team was. So really excited about what we've been able to accomplish and excited to talk about it with you.
Yeah, it really just kind of started snowballing the last few weeks with the success of LSU's baseball team. And it's kind of the point. Here we are in the finals. I mean, we had confidence, I think, in our team, and we're definitely supporting them, but it didn't necessarily feel like the team of destiny or anything. But they have found ways to get the job done in multiple different ways. And so here we are having to break out the podcast microphones for an emergency session, bringing the latest and greatest in the midweek pod to our listeners. So it's very exciting, and we've got another chance to put a national championship trophy on the shelf. That will be 2 and 3 years, which is really awesome. And I think it might be a little too early to start saying dynasty, but it always feels good to be in the finals in Omaha, where LSU baseball belongs. So hopefully we can pick up another natty and bring it back to Baton Rouge.
Yeah. Well, I think by that you mean bring the dynasty back to Baton Rouge, because we did have one, you know, starting with Skip Bertman, but it has been a while since we've won multiple with the same coach. But obviously Jay Johnson can do that this upcoming weekend. And I get what you guys are saying. It's not like the 2023 team where it was just an all-star cast. You know, you had all-world player Dylan Cruz against all-world pitcher Paul Skeens. Yeah, we don't have them. And but, you know, Jay Johnson did assemble a really good team, apparently. I mean, I thought I'd say before this game, if it ended up being Arkansas against Coastal, that's probably the hottest team in the country versus, you know, objectively the most talented and deepest team in this country as far as the personnel they got, because they, you know, they got pitchers for days. But I don't know. It's just something about the Tigers, man. I mean, we did fine in the regional, the super regional. We lost that one against Little Rock, and people gave us flack about it, but it didn't matter. Mm-hmm. And the fact that LSU's been able to come back in a lot of these games against, you know, teams like UCLA that were very good once they took the lead. Coastal's going to be that way, too. It didn't matter. You know, they went up 3-0 in the first inning. We took the lead at the bottom of the first. So this team is definitely resilient. And, yeah, we may not have guys that Jay has procured for a few years, or he showed up and they were already ready to play. But, I mean, he did put this team together. You give him credit for that. You know, I don't think, for instance, we would have done this year without Hernandez behind the plate. You know, just certain guys in key positions that we've needed. And we can talk about the specifics about, because, you know, he did tinker with the lineup again based on need. But overall, man, what else can you say? I guess the game against UCLA – we had to split it into, Monday night, Tuesday morning, basically, but Tigers get the win. We didn't have to burn too many arms, which was good, and we had enough, just enough offense to have a comfortable win. I guess we could start there, Tommy, because, I mean, if you, you know, it could have gone either way after the rain delay, you know, starting up the next day. But I'd say that favors the Tigers because we've experienced that many times over. I don't think UCLA even had a rain delay this year, much less one that would carry into the next day. So I guess starting there, I mean, that kind of set us up for the rest of the week. But I think it just kind of shows to the resiliency because it's nothing we haven't faced already, you know?
No, I think you're right. I mean, this LSU team has played a lot of we've had a lot of rain delay issues and moving games, postponing games, all of that. And so it did kind of play to us. I mean, I think there was some concern that you burned Ianson, that he wasn't gonna be able to go the next day. That was a concern of mine. But I'm glad that Case and Evans came in and I mean, really dealt and you know, did a great job. And it was Kaysen, right?
Yes, on Tuesday.
Yeah, it's blurring together. I mean, he really came in and dealt. I mean, we maintained that lead, and really a solid win against a UCLA team that you know was not elite, but not bad by any stretch of the imagination.
Mm-hmm. And because we started Anthony Ianson on that Monday night, and UCLA got off to a hot start at the top of the first. They put three runs across the plate, and LSU was down 3-0 before you could blink. And so that was kind of like, oh, not what we expected, and not the way you want to start the game, obviously. And then LSU answered right back, thankfully, with thanks to a Jared Jones three-run home run, plus I think one more to go up 4-3 in the bottom of the first. After that, Ianson settled down and rang up two scoreless innings, but before the rain put the kibosh on that one, and they kind of strung it out for a little bit into the night, but then they said come back tomorrow morning. So 10 a.m. at the plate on Tuesday morning, and was like, oh my goodness, we burned Ianson. What are we going to do here? Do we go all in? Which is kind of what we did by throwing Kaysen Evans, who was our best remaining pitcher, I would say, overall, yeah, to start that game. So it was like, we got to win this one, or else we're going to be in some deep trouble because we'd be dropping down to the loser's bracket. And Evans did everything that we asked of him, I think going like five scoreless maybe, or maybe giving up one run. And then we had the closers came in. UCLA did put a couple across at the end, but it was never really like that close towards the end. And so we did what we needed to do, played solid baseball and didn't let the weather or just the general conditions hold us back. So at that point we were 2-0, and in previous World Series, LSU was six national championships out of seven chances whenever we started the tournament 2-0. So things were looking up and have thankfully gone well since then also.
Yeah. And in that time, Arkansas threw a no hitter.
Yep.
And then they brought back the guy that didn't do so well when we first played them, their ace.
They got similar names. Wood was the one who threw the no hitter, which is pretty awesome to see.
Right. Yeah. One of three in College World Series history. Go figure. Again, just like this team's pitching was ridiculous. I'm surprised that, you know, they couldn't find it against us, but Root, and he pretty much did what he needed to do against us. Second go around, shut us down for what, like a few innings, four or five. And then, I don't know, I think we got one, right? Like, we got one home run. Well, no, I'm sorry. They got one home run. Yeah. And then we got two to take the lead. I don't know. It's just up until we got that two and took over the lead, man, it just seemed like the Tigers, I don't know, I just had a feeling of one of those games where we're just, you know, we're just not showing up for it. And we might as well just pretend on
talk it.
Yeah, we'll plan on recording the night after, because we're going to be playing. We thought we'd have been playing today possibly, but Luckily, no, the bats woke up. They got clutch hitting exactly when they needed it. But we got to give credit to Zach Cowan because he gave us five good innings as well. And that's what you need, right? That's what you had in 2023. You had the Thatcher Hurdge. You had the Nate Ackenhausens giving you five and six innings when it's like, where was this all season? You know? So sure, break it out now. Go for it. Do it, guys. And then of course what happened after the eighth inning, just, I don't know, it's gonna be talked about for ages. Arkansas took the lead back, and then we tied it in the eighth. Jerry Jones hit a home run to tie it because Arkansas went ahead, and then top of the ninth it was 3-3, and then Arkansas just went to work. You know, they got a couple guys on real quick, and then we changed pitchers, and then they got a single, and all of a sudden Arkansas's up 5-3. I think we're very fortunate that it wasn't worse than that. And LSU was able to get off. And, of course, bottom of the ninth, okay, you guys at least need two runs. And Arkansas was very happy to give them to us, right? I mean, they had one out, but then Curiel got on because of an error. I mean, everyone wants to look at the error in the outfield that scored the two runs, but it started way before that. They had an error to try and throw out Curiel. They even had the catcher running down the first base line to, you know, back up in case there was a bad throw. But it got by him. That's what allowed Curiel to go to second. Then they walked Fry. So right there, you've got two, like one error and one walk, which, you know, you can't walk in the bottom of the ninth. So there was two issues. And then the next one, Milam grounded out. And for some reason, Aloy, with a double play just like right there in front of him, he went for the out at third. Maybe just some instinct kicked in. I don't know. They didn't seem to talk about it beforehand, but that might have been a good time to have a mound meeting to say, all right, the next play is second to first. Let's get out of this. He probably would have had it because Milam was way down the first baseline when he caught that ball. But he went to third, and that was the only out, which is kind of baffling, but – you know, the show goes on. And then Hernandez just smacked one right at the left fielder, Davalon. And I don't know, man, he misplayed. I think he went back at first and then he came forward to try and catch it. And it was going to hit I don't know. I couldn't tell if it hit his shoulder or his head or whatever. It hit
his kind of bounced off his head. Yeah.
Yeah. It made a 90-degree turn and went towards the foul territory where he had to go over there, pick it up, throw it in. By then, two runs had scored. So we're tied. And then rest is history. Bear Jones came in, smacked a single into center field just over the glove of the second baseman that made that first error. And Tigers win, man. Just could not have written that, right? Like you could have wrote it maybe just as like if you're trying to write a Hollywood movie thinking that's because it's plausible with LSU history, but you were thinking, yeah, but that would happen. I'll leave it in there. But it happened, right? It was just totally crazy, the sequence of events. And now LSU is playing for its second title in 3 years, and Jay Johnson is playing for his second in 3 years, and he's going to do it against the team that he lost to last time he was in the finals. So, I mean, I don't know. Pick your storyline, right?
No, I mean, not even to mention like Jared Jones, the star, the hero of last night, a guy who struggled through this postseason. You know, has had a strikeout bug. And then he comes out with – and then also drops the – now, I mean, I honestly think that it wasn't really his fault. I kind of blame Dickinson on the throw. But a lot of people look at that botched double play that kind of led to Arkansas scoring. So for Jared Jones to come back and, one, hit that home run to tie it up and then to end up hitting the game-winning single, great for him and a great way to continue to top off a stellar career at LSU.
Yeah, just such a crazy game overall. I hope the games in the finals are exciting as well, but this one is somewhat reminiscent.
Oh, I don't. We've already had our cardiac cats game.
That's true, but the Tigers always find a way to make it interesting either way, but it's somewhat reminiscent of that Wake Forest game.
Yes.
Going into extra innings where it just hangs on a knife's edge, you know, and either team can really take it. So much talent on the field both ways. And just the swings, especially in the last couple of innings, like ESPN will have this kind of like win probability thing where like one team has 99.9% chance or whatever, 80%. But this is one where like the probability is swinging like from one side to the other, back and forth, back and forth. And because we had the pitcher's duel for a while, like you mentioned with Cowan on the mound for LSU and Beetle Shees for Arkansas, who was shutting us down for a good six innings. And then as things kind of the champagne started to pop and mistakes were starting to be made going late in the game, we had Jake Brown getting a pinch hit, two RBI, yes. Like go-ahead single, which was awesome. He's been really hot, and he didn't even start the game because they were kind of playing that lefty matchup, but they put him in the lineup, and as soon as he did, he popped two runs on the board for LSU. So I think you got to have him in the lineup going into Coastal Carolina, just the way he's been swinging the bat. And then Arkansas answering back with their two more on that play where you mentioned we were trying to turn two, and Dickinson had kind of a bad feed to Jones at first base, and that popped out of his glove and let two runs come across. And I was like, oh, my goodness, because we could have got out of the inning, but instead it just the carousel turned a little bit more. And so that's one swing, and then Jones answers right back, kind of ice in his veins with the solo shot. Would have been nice to have more runners on, but that tied it up and kind of really kept us in there as he blasted one over the right center field. He knew it as soon as he swung the bat.
Oh, yeah, he pimped that one.
He stood in the batter's box for like a solid 5 seconds just watching it. And then in the ninth inning, Chase Shores for LSU had been doing pretty well in relief overall, throwing 100 up to 102, I think, at one point. But then Arkansas finally started to turn the ball around, and it was jumping into the outfield. And then, they just scored one on a single up to left field, and it was 5-3 going to the bottom of the ninth. And I honestly felt that kind of all hope was lost, and I was getting prepared for the the Thursday night game that would have been played today. I said, all right, go to the next one. But the Tigers, they had the magic in them. You gave a good synopsis of the end of that game, Scott, but and you kind of have to feel bad for Arkansas a little bit. They always seem a little snake bit in the postseason. They get so close, and then they give it up in the most disastrous ways.
I think it's 11 times going to the College World Series with nothing, coming out with nothing.
Exactly. That's got to be painful for the loyal fans over the years. At least LSU's conversion rate is a good margin higher than that. And I mean, you play till your last out. It's not over till it's over. And LSU was down to their last out, and some magic happened. So I'm not going to complain about that. And it saved us a lot of pitchers being burnt today. Ianson gets an extra day of rest, and now here we are, good to go into the finals. So exciting stuff. Probably going to watch the highlights back on this one if I want to give myself some elevated blood pressure. But overall, crazy game.
Yeah. And I don't know, just based off of what you said about, man, just Arkansas, I mean, it has been painful. It's not just baseball either. I mean, they've been pained a lot. I think their last title was in 90, God, I want to say 4, I think it was, and that was basketball. But a lot of heartbreak since then. You could see them posting it on, like, oh, here we go, heartbreak again. I don't know, I mean, it's kind of a silly question, but I guess I'm kind of serious with it. Do you think they're cursed? Like, I can't think of why, but is Arkansas truly cursed? Because it's just, you know, it's just bizarre, like how they've snatched defeat from the jaws of victory, like on the biggest stage, you know, in the College World Series.
It's really crazy because, like Daniel said, I mean, they have a very solid program, and you know, it's not like one of these teams where they kind of had a run and just couldn't get it done. I mean, Arkansas has been a competitive elite SEC baseball program for years now. So it really is amazing that they can't get that. Something just doesn't click with them. And so maybe it is a curse. I mean, baseball is one of those, you know, one of those sports that often has curses. So I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe they need to make a change. I don't know what the change might be.
Yeah, because Dave Van Horn, their coach, he has the most College World Series appearances out of any active coach. But I think he's 0 for 10 there. And so it's, yeah, tough to see. And they're good enough to get there, so you can't take that away from them. But just something always comes up, and something abstract. It's hard to put a pin on it, but you kind of just know something's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, yeah, you just – it's heartbreaking to see that as a fan, right? Like, could you imagine if you were that close and then that happened? I mean, there was, like I said, there
is
was
this multiple... is this the closest they've come?
No, because they were up against Oregon State to like clinch it. All they had to do was catch a foul ball. They missed it.
Yeah,
and Oregon State ended up coming back.
Yeah, 2018 ish. Yeah, they were in the game to go to the College World Series finals.
Uh huh.
And yeah, they dropped a pop fly, I think, in the bottom of the ninth, and then Oregon State came back to beat them, and then they won the national championship. So, not good.
Mm-mm. But I don't know. I was thinking, to be honest, before this game, and I think, like, just talent wise, as far as like their lineup and their bullpen, if anyone could take down Coastal Carolina. I don't know. I felt like more comfortable that they could do it before LSU, but now I can't think that. I mean, I think LSU, you know, they have some spots in the lineup where guys have struggled, you know, but I don't know, maybe it could be like another Jordan Thompson situation, right? Like Bears starting to come through.
Speaking of Jordan Thompson, what about Michael Braswell not being able to hit the ball?
Oh, poor guy.
Braswell could have a clutch hit when they're not expecting it. Cause right. Like in this last game, that's what they did, is they had pitched around somebody to go to Braswell, and they got it out and basically ended the inning, it eliminated a threat. So that could be a situation where it's like, he's obviously, Jay Johnson obviously felt comfortable switching Stanfield to get Jake Brown's bat. It worked. He didn't do it with Braswell. Right. It's like he feels like that defense is more solid. I was just curious if you guys noticed that, or like if you had any thoughts about it. Cause I don't know, it could be another Jordan Thompson situation where it's like, man, we know he's struggling offensively, but the guy's leather is good. Would have been a couple. I mean, there have been some good double plays because of Braswell. Could have been others. Like you said, if that one was converted, maybe this game doesn't finish the same way, but maybe LSU still comes out on top if they convert it. But still, he's in there for defense, regardless of his 1-for-20, whatever it is, hit streak, right?
I think it's 1-for-35.
Oh, yep. Geez. Yeah.
It's not good. I was saying the strategy for Braswell needs to be to just crowd the plate, try and get hit by the pitch, squat down low, make that strike zone small, and just leave the bat on your shoulder. Just don't even swing. Cause like the worst, like you could get walked, you get hit by the pitch, worst case scenario, you strike out. And that's not even that bad. Cause you're doing that already. It's not any worse than what you're already doing. It's tough. Cause he even had the assignment to lay down a bunt in the middle of the game, and he popped that
bad bunt.
He popped it straight up, and the catcher just grabbed it, and that killed all the momentum. So, I mean, Jay Johnson must think the alternative options are not good at all. His defense is good. I do give him that, but it is rough when you have basically an automatic out circled on your roster.
I mean, Tanner Reeves has been decent at the plate. I wouldn't say he's been, I mean, he's been a better hitter than Braswell has. But maybe Jay likes a little bit more experience, experience in the infield. I respect that.
Sure. Or it's just like, same with Thompson. It's like Jay knows what he has. Like he sees these guys every day in practice. If he thought that Reeves could do as good defensively, but could provide more offensively, we'd have seen a change already. Right. They've already tried that earlier this year. I think Braswell's the guy as far as defense goes, especially on hot corner. And I guess he can put up with it because it's really a one at bat. You know, most everybody else has kind of done something in a clutch position. So that's why I think, maybe he'll cycle out of it.
Yeah, like, well, he's still got at least two more games to prove himself.
Right, right, exactly. That's that. The Chanticleers, we know who they are. They are the hottest team in the country. They've won coming up on 30 games in a row. They haven't lost since, I think, April. God, they said it last night in the broadcast.
April 22nd was their last loss to College of Charleston. And they've won 26 since then.
Crazy. And they are not scared at all. I mean, we do have home game first. Then it'll alternate after that. So we do get last bat first game, so that's good. And we will have both of our starting pitchers rested, as will they. And they have a pretty deep bullpen themselves. I think the key is you can't give them anything. And I feel like that's one thing LSU has done for the most part, at least, you know, with their starting pitching.
Uh-huh.
We haven't really given them too much. Not many walks, not many hits, not many home runs, you know, so far in this World Series anyway. And I think that's what Coastal just feeds on. They just pounce on it. And then all of a sudden, that's how you get 2-3 runs in an inning six they had up on the first run in the first game against Louisville. So it's just you can't give them anything because they'll definitely take advantage. And I feel like I feel confident that our starting pitchers won't. We just also have to capitalize on whatever their starting pitching gives us.
Yeah, you know? The Coastal, I mean, I watched some of the games in the World Series. Obviously, they're very solid top to bottom, both offensively and pitching. They have three legit starters, which is a rare thing in college baseball. They actually, I think in their first game against Arizona, they used two of their three main starting pitchers back-to-back, like in the same game, just to win that one. So that was kind of an interesting strategy. But they'll have everybody fully rested. They played their last game on Tuesday, so they got 3 days, full days of rest. And it's going to be a tough matchup. They're coming in hot. They're confident. And like you mentioned, Scott, Jay Johnson, when he was in the College World Series with Arizona in 2016, when he made the finals, Arizona won that first game against Coastal Carolina in the finals. And then the Chanticleers won the final two to come back and win their one and only national championship. So definitely history there. And I don't know if I'd call it bad blood, but definitely competitive. And on that same year that Coastal won the national championship, that was the year they came to Baton Rouge and beat the Tigers in the Super Regional. The like kind of iconic picture, Coastal Carolina's like dog piling on LSU's field while Kramer Robertson has his head like to the ground, like in agony. I saw Kramer doing some tweeting about beating Coastal today, so maybe we can avenge it for him. But it should be exciting. And I mean, obviously, I want to come away with a win. It'd be tough to come all this way and not take it home, but a good season nonetheless, and definitely exciting baseball, as Omaha, I would say, has over delivered so far.
Yeah, and it's just when you look at the highlights, man, a quarter of it was just how down bad Arkansas was after their loss. Like there was a few guys that were just wrecked, you know, especially the left fielder that were bounced off his some part of his body. That I'm sure he felt like it was his fault. I think the Aloy, the shortstop, felt like it was his fault too, because he didn't get that, or he didn't try to turn the double play. I don't know. I've never really seen that with LSU, right? It's like when we lose, it's horrible, but I feel like those guys really thought they had something, and then it was just such a letdown, right? Like think of how much emotion they got to get two runs in the top of the ninth. All we got to do is close it out. Like we've held them to, three runs basically the whole game. Let's do this. And then they had it. And then they gave it away. I couldn't imagine. It's just self-disgust, I think, is what it was.
Thickening.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
As far as, the Coastal, I mean, we thought that Anthony Ianson might have to pitch, or maybe even Cade Anderson might have to pitch today in the if necessary game. And given that we beat Arkansas, we're going into the finals with both of them on full rest. So it's probably going to be Anderson on Saturday in the first game and Ianson on Sunday. And Cason Evans at that point will have full rest as well. So we could use him either in a reliever role, kind of high leverage situation, or if things kind of go pear-shaped like they did in the second game against Florida 2023, just kind of throw in the towel and use our best guys for the last one. So you got to be feeling confident if you're in LSU shoes. Our other relievers have shown promise. I mean, Zach Cowan, great outing against Arkansas. Shores has pitched well, and some other guys in spots also. So feeling good, and we just need to get the bats going. Like I said, Coastal has good pitchers also, but if the bear can swing the stick, if Michael Braswell can find a way to get on base, And then your other guys like Luis Hernandez with those big clutch hits, two outs, bottom of the ninth. That's exactly the type of stuff you need to win a championship. So I'm confident. First game is Saturday, 6 p.m. Central, and then they play Sunday at, I think, 1:30 Central, no matter what. So yeah. It's supposed to be very hot. I think it's like 100 degrees is the expected temperature at game time on Saturday and Sunday. We'll see if that plays into effect. I mean, Coastal Carolina's in Myrtle Beach. I think it gets pretty warm down there as well. So I wouldn't say there's a big favorite one way or the other, but could be a tough one for the fans in attendance. My parents will be in attendance there. I know it's Sunday, and I think Saturday as well. So good luck to them, and cheer on the Tigers for us.
Yeah, and I don't know, it's pretty easy to guess that, yeah, Cade Anderson's probably going to start game one. Ianson's going to start game two. But what do you think about the lineup now that, you know, what's played out's played out? I don't know. Do you think he moves Bear back up or just kind of leaves him where he is? Because maybe he's comfortable where he's at in the lineup. You know, maybe, I don't know, Jake Brown gets the starting spot in right field. I don't know. I guess Jay has some time to figure that out. But any guesses as to that?
I think he continues to play matchups. So I look at Pearson against lefties, and Jake Brown against righties. I like having Jake Brown off the bench if necessary. I thought that pinch hitting move was the one of the best managing moves of the season. Especially with the way that he waited and then put him in after Arkansas made a switch. Yeah. I thought that was brilliant. Really tactical management by Jay Johnson. You could really see both the strategy by both teams, and as far as management goes, which I thought was really interesting. But as far as for this you know, national championship, I would trust Jay to continue to I don't know if he's going to tinker as much as he has in the past, but I think that he'll play matchups. I mean, the guy loves Josh Pearson. You can just tell. I know we were talking to somebody recently who was close to the team. They said that they think Josh Pearson has the highest baseball IQ on the whole team. I'm sure Jay Johnson sees that. And so, I think I like having both of them, but you know, having both as options.
Yeah. All three of Coastal Carolina's like big time starters are right-handed pitchers. So you may see more of Jake Brown than Josh Pearson, but I'm sure, yeah, like you said, Jay likes to look into the analytics and rub his crystal ball a little bit and figure out who's going to do good on any given day. So we'll see that. And then, I mean, we're going to see more of him, but shout out to Luis Hernandez, who's caught every single game of the World Series. I think Aaron Beattie caught one game in the regional, but Hernandez has been a workhorse behind the plate otherwise. And he was having to block up Chase Shores like 101, like in the dirt. Got to be clutch there, and he'll probably have it every single game of the finals. So he's getting worn down, but definitely deserves his flowers for staying in there and getting that clutch hit, even if it did come off of the Arkansas guy's shoulder or whatever. Like, he put a sting in it to make it happen. So I need more of that.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I was thinking about last night, because I obviously couldn't go to bed right after that game. I was just, my mind was covering too many bases, pun intended. You know, it was just watching the highlights, seeing reactions. But I was just sitting there thinking, I'm like, man, it is different from 2023, because, you know, there was guys like Dylan Cruz that had already been there. But yeah, we did have guys come in, you know, like Paul Skeens, Tommy White. Probably couldn't have won in 2023. Without both of their efforts, I wouldn't say we had quite as big a, you know, ad for this year. But like you just mentioned, Luis Hernandez, like guys like that, Dickinson at short, a second base, Zach Cowan coming in. We had the right spots filled with the right guys that we needed this year, and that's pretty much all that matters, right? I still feel like maybe Josh Pearson could be the Cade Beloso type, you know. You have Bear Jones, who's basically what Tommy White was, except he's at first instead of third. And he actually has flashed some good leather. I know he had that one kind of drop that allowed Oregon State to take the lead. But other than that, man, like, he had one where he just he caught it midair. It was about to go over the umpire's head. He's definitely flashed some good leather at first. Also, so is Dickinson. I mean, he was the one that threw that kind of mud duck, but whatever. All their contributions, him, Stanfield, Braswell, all those guys, everyone else that transferred in, they've all contributed to this, and that's what's awesome to see. It's like Jay can put all this together even without the, you know, because I'm sure there's guys that would say, oh, well, you guys don't win in 23 without schemes. No way. I'm like, well, whatever. We're not going to talk about hypotheticals, but we won it with him. Who cares? But everybody that's here now, they have helped contribute in the same fashion. Like, if we didn't have Hernandez, like we would have had a guy with zero innings experience behind the plate, right? So Luckily he came in. So additions like that. That's why I think Jay, we could probably trust in what he's doing. He's got a good eye for talent.
Clearly. Mm-hmm. He's done a masterful job managing this team this year, and I'm excited to watch it all play out.
Agreed.
Yeah. I don't know, we could probably just leave it there, but do you guys have any final thoughts?
No, I think that's it. I know the Tiger faithful will be packing the stands in Omaha Saturday, Sunday, and hopefully not Monday if we can go 2-0, but all the games. Good luck to the Tigers and to the fans traveling to the stadium, and hope we can have a celebratory podcast next week.
Yeah. And hopefully the weather allows it on the schedule that they have set for TV already anyway. But other than that, I think that'll about do it for us here on Talking Tigs. Tune in after the weekend. We will definitely have the College World Series in all its completion and, you know, win, lose, or, well, it's not going to draw, but win or lose, we will have all that for you. So check back in with us and get the scoop. But until then, hope everyone has a great rest of their weekend. Enjoy the College World Series, either there or at home. Stay safe, stay tuned. And we'll talk to you next time right here on Talking Tigs.